You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Texas American folks, Mark Antos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Greg Felton. Greg is the author of a new book for Dandelion, and that book is entitled The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. You can find Carol Adler's Dandelion books online at www.dandelionbooks.net. Greg Felton is from Canada. Has written a number of very important things prior to this, and his research is now consummated in this book, which I think is particularly apropos given the things that we've been talking about this morning related to, among others, John McCain specifically, and also Mahdi Darius Nazemroya's piece for globalresearch.ca this morning, which describes specifically the tactics that are being utilized to start a war with Iran. The Nazemroya piece entitled More Smoke on the Horizon in the Middle East War Theater gets into what General Franks freely admits and what General Wesley Clark has articulated is a Pentagon doctrine, a Bush administration doctrine to engage in preemptive warfare with seven different countries that are on a laundry list of places to be clobbered. And in the midst of that doctrine of preemptive war and preemptive military strikes, is also a process that's being undertaken to engage in the development of a domestic police state. Presidential National Security Directive 51, also known as Homeland Security Directive 20, is something that Mahdi Darius Nazemroya talks about this morning. I also talk about it in my new article for the American Free Press on Memorial Day in San Antonio, the final resting place of Marquis J. McCants, and the death of the American Republic. Very important that we take a look at the Presidential National Security Directive 51, also known as Homeland Security Directive 20, to see what's in it and what kinds of domestic powers, unconstitutionally so, Mr. Bush is taking up for himself. Then the third leg, the third triad in this very demonic strategy, is to engage in media disinformation on the so-called Iran threat. Nazemroya talks about it this a.m. in regard to what has recently appeared both in The Guardian and also in the Associated Press. Greg Felton, are you with us yet, sir?
I'm with you, Mark.
Good to have you on, Greg. I've tried to give the listeners a little bit of background before we just dive into the conversation this morning. Greg, you are a Canadian, of course. Tell us a little bit about your personal and professional background, and then we'll try to get into the meat of the book this morning. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm a Canadian. I'm a graduate of UBC, of a master's in political science. I've been a journalist here since 1993. I was senior editor at the Vancouver Courier, and my specialties were in the Middle East, language, propaganda, Canadian politics. My writing was a little bit too delicate for Conrad Black, who's in the news these days.
Yes.
Because henchmen out here had my column censored.
That doesn't surprise me, Greg, because I know a little bit about Conrad Black. We're talking about this guy who was at the center of the Hollinger Corporation scandal, correct? And Hollinger, in turn, owned a lot of important newspaper publications, including the Jerusalem Post. And as I understand it, the English language edition of the Jerusalem Post is published out your way in Vancouver, correct?
Well, the Jerusalem Post is published in Jerusalem, but Hollinger's headquarters is in Vancouver.
Yes, okay. I had understood that they printed the English language version of the Jerusalem Post up there, but one way or another, Hollinger, which is connected to Conrad Black and to the larger Zionist lobby, is right in the middle of where Greg Felton works and publishes. We'll get back to this and then discuss the book, The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Destroyed America or Consumed America, This is Mark Ankoff on RPN. Stay tuned.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Mark Anthos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Greg Felton up in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, who has written a new and important book for Carol Adler's Dandelion Books. And the title of this volume, this Greg Felton volume, is The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. Greg, talking about Vancouver, I know, for example, that many years ago, when I was on KGNW radio in Seattle, that 50,000-watt Christian station was one of a series of Christian 50,000-watt stations in the west coast of the United States, purchased by Jewish interests based in Vancouver. Now, you've brought up the whole issue of Conrad Black of Hollinger, and, of course, Lord Black has been the recent subject of a lot of controversy because of a trial where he is a defendant in a case that involves the alleged embezzlement of millions of dollars. That's a whole other story. But Hollinger clearly, of course, owns the Jerusalem Post, among many other newspapers. And these newspapers almost exclusively take the Zionist, pro-Zionist position. So I can imagine that with that kind of Zionist-controlled news media and corporate power being based in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, it would make your life particularly difficult in terms of the sort of research and writing and publishing that you do.
Yes, you're quite right. It's very well, here in Vancouver, we have a very strong Zionist-Jewish lobby force, and frequently I was told that his henchman out here, his Frank Nitti, his dad, David Radler, or rather used to be, and whenever I would write a column on the Middle East, rabbis out here in Langara would get, and Shaughnessy would get furious and start blistering his ear every Sunday morning when my column would come out. So, yes, he knew who I was and really didn't quite like me. I've got an interview on my website that I did with the Tsingtao School of Journalism in Vancouver and at Langara. And, you know, Radler did not think much of it, but then again, he wasn't much in the way of a journalist. Simply a businessman with a very narrow eye on the bottom line, and just decided to censor me because that's what his business acumen thought he should do. And it was rather difficult the last couple of years because I didn't really much enjoy writing when I was told I couldn't write on what is arguably, or one could argue unarguably, the most important foreign policy question of the modern era.
Well, that's exactly right. And in terms of the research that you've done on this, Greg, What led you to the conclusion that this whole question of Israel and Zionism was the most important foreign policy question of the century, and what subsequently led you to producing this book for Dandelion?
Well, initially, the book was designed to be a biography of Osama bin Laden to counteract the outrageous prejudice and bigotry that was masquerading as informed journalism in the period after the September the 11th attack. And that changed a bit because he's still below the radar when Saddam Hussein became the evil Arab du jour in the American demonology of the West. And I realized that there is something particularly bizarre about the way the United States government has reacted to the September 11th attack, that is to say, by passing the Patriot Act. Because if you look at it, it is entirely an indefensible document. It is an unconstitutional piece of legislation that essentially eviscerates the fundamental protections guaranteed under the Constitution. And then I had to ask myself, why does a republic that had been around since 1776 decide to commit suicide in the span of a few short weeks? And I had no rational answer for this. Because a republic does not, you know, the House of Representatives and the Senate passed this legislation unread, as if by rote order, as if they were a bunch of soldiers doing what they were told. And I had a difficult time explaining how a bunch of otherwise intelligent people could do this. So I decided to back up a little bit, all right? Why would the country commit suicide? Well, maybe it didn't commit suicide. Maybe the country, for all intents and purposes, could not defend itself. And I used an analogy in one of my chapters, my early chapters, of how a cancer attacks a healthy body. And in one of my earlier pieces of research for another publication, I learned that cancers don't simply spring up and go through bodies instantaneously. It requires two or three genetic mutations and a breakdown in the body's tumor suppressor system or a cancer not only to start, but to take hold and metastasize throughout a body. So I started to look at the American government structure and the kind of people that were in government, and I came to the conclusion that there were three fundamentally anti-democratic interests in the United States, and those are Zionist Jews, evangelical Christians, and the Straussian, or neoconservative econo-theologians. And I look back at the United States, and over the past 25 years, I noticed a progressive deterioration in the United States' national interest as a guiding principle in foreign policy, and a concomitant rise in Israel's self-interest as a driving interest in American foreign policy. And I went back through history, and I noticed that something weird had happened during the rise of civil liberties and the anti-war movement of the Vietnam War. And essentially what I came to the conclusion was this. In the United States Republic, the secular political culture that we look upon as the great, or theoretically at least, as the great bastion of democratic virtue, essentially died in Vietnam when the Republican and Democratic parties essentially destroyed themselves, debased themselves, and exposed the true magnitude of American stupidity. And out of that, there came a massive political vacuum. And into that vacuum stepped the anti-democratic interest groups that had been gathering strength progressively for about 10 to 15 years before the end of the Vietnam War in 1974, or 75, I forget quite which one it was now. And these form essentially the three parts of the fascist triad, the Christians, the Zionists, and the Straussians. And if you look at the way the United States government has developed since Ronald Reagan, there is a growing rise in what are called fascist American tendencies and a gradual falling of Republican American tendencies. And throughout this period, the Zionists, I argue in my book, became the dominant leg of the fascist troika. And the Zionists progressively turned the United States away from being a republic and having a policy in the Middle East based upon the obtaining of cheap petroleum into one of sacrificing that interest to promoting Israel's illegal, genocidal, colonial expansionism against the Palestinians. So when I speak about the host and the parasite, I speak about a body, the United States, that had been invaded by a foreign entity that consumes it for its own self, offers no benefit whatever to the host, and to this point it's impossible to distinguish between the United States and Israel because the Israeli, the Zionist parasite has colonized Congress, the media, industry, education to a point where the United States as an independent country, can no longer be said to exist.
Yes. Do you think, Greg, and as I read the news release from Dandelion on your book, I found myself in fundamental agreement with your thesis. Do you think that this is irreversible? And the reason that I ask this, I look at this current crop of so-called corporate media-described top-tier candidates in both the Republican and Democratic parties, referring to McCain, Giuliani, and Romney on the one hand, and the Republican Party, looking at Edwards and Clinton and Obama in any order you choose, and the Democratic Party. And it seems to me on matters Zionist and on matters Israeli, when you read the public statements of any of these people, that you could throw a blanket over them. They all appear to have come from the pen of the same speechwriter. Are we to interpret this as an indication that the Zionist control of the American political process is so in the bag, so to speak, that there's no way of getting around this?
In the present form, I would say yes. And you're quite right to point fingers both at the Republican and Democratic Party, especially the Democrats, because that's really the traditional party of Israel. The Republicans really had no stake in Israel going back to 1948. Because it was Truman who basically took his bribe from the Israel lobby to betray his promise not to allow the Arabs of Palestine to suffer the colonial oppression of the European Jews who invaded and hid behind the exaggerated mythology of the Holocaust. I'm not going to say it didn't happen, but it's quite well known, and Ilan Pape and other great scholars in Israel have argued and shown, as well as Dr. Norman Finkelstein, that the Zionists have exploited, mythologized, and bastardized the history of the Holocaust, justify the continued repression of Palestine, and to prop up Israel's alleged right to exist. Now, as far as the United States goes, and this is how I finish my book, and it might be one of the most interesting aspects of the book. The great tragedy of the United States.
Greg, hold on. I got to take a break. We'll be right back and just pick it up and continue your thought from there. This is Mark Danpaus, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be back with Greg Felton of Vancouver, Canada. He is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. It is a Dandelion Books publication. This is Mark Ankoff at RBN. Stay tuned.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering. World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
This is Mark Ankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Greg Felton of Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Greg is the author of the new book, The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. It is a Dandelion Books publication. Carol Adler of Tempe, Arizona is the president of Dandelion Books. You can find it online at www.dandelionbooks.net. And I think in terms of the many things that Greg has already shared with us today, one of the things I find to be most significant is his emphasis upon the Zionist centers of power in the Vancouver, British Columbia area, which I've been aware of for a number of years in a peripheral kind of way, but was interested to learn just this last week that one of my guests from last week's show, Dr. Kaveh Farouk, Persian professor of Middle Eastern studies at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, and the author of the new book, Shadows in the Desert, ancient Persia at war, informs me that he's been getting some sniping from the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, D.C., the K Street-based group that includes people like Kissinger and Schlesinger and so forth on the board of directors. They have not liked what Dr. Kaveh Farouk has had to say about Israel's support of some of these separatistic and tribal movements in Iran, where there is a lot of indication that these movements and their difficulties are being deliberately inflamed by the Israeli Mossad, the Central Intelligence Agency, and the British MI6. So this seems to dovetail with what Greg Felton is sharing with us today. And I just wanted to underscore some of those connections and to connect the dots once again for some of the listeners. Greg, go ahead with where we were before the break.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. I was talking about the respective parties in the United States and how the Republic and the Democrats are both essentially bought and paid for by the lobby. Traditionally, this has been a problem for the Democrats because it was Truman, as you remember, who essentially sold out the Palestinians to the Israelis and did so with the famous excuse that I have 100,000 Jews in my constituency, I don't have 100,000 Arabs. And I think that comes from Gore Vidal. And so Truman essentially began the process of being midwife to a war crime when the United States made it possible for Israel to, not to come into being, but he didn't do anything to stop the dispossession of the Palestinian Arabs, of which there are approximately 800,000 between November 29, 1947 and December 31, 1948. And for the United States, the problem has been that the Zionists have managed to winnow their way into the American political system to a greater or lesser degree since that time. And the problem for the United States is that if we're going to free the United States from the hammerlock of Zionist control, the American public has to see the Zionists for what they are. And that's very difficult right now, difficult period, because the same sort of symbolism, mythology, rhetoric, and practices that dominated the United States before 1980, when the fascist coup took place, and Ronald Reagan became president. In fact, he wasn't really president, he was the front man for the Heritage Foundation. Because 11 people from the foundation were in his first government. If we're going to do anything to reverse this trend, we have to force people to see that there is no correspondence between the symbols of American democracy and the practice of American democracy. And what I argue in my book is that essentially there has to be some sort of conflagration, but there has to be some sort of upset in the United States. Something has to happen to force the American public to see what their country has become. And I argue, I can't know whether it comes about or not, I don't know. But I say the healthiest thing would be for the American military, those honorable generals and senior officers and men, women in the armed forces who have some respect for their constitution and for their country, to stage a coup and occupy the White House. Arrest and try Cheney, Bush, Rummy, the whole lot of them, Pearl, Fife, Bolton, as well as the leaders of the Israel lobby for treason, and hold a Nuremberg-style war crimes tribunal. And the problem for the American public is that the symbols seem to be the same, and they're not aware of what's happened. So I think that the American Republic is dead. It has been dying since 1980. It no longer exists. It has been consumed by a parasitic host that is bent on fascistic, genocidal warfare against a defenseless civilian population. And the United States is the instrument by which that terrorism is being effectuated.
Well, you know, Greg, as we talk about this, I am struck by the irony of something. I don't want you to be concerned, but I say this, that I voted for Ronald Reagan in 1980, but I've had a conversion since then. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be back with Greg Felton, the author of The Host and the Parasite, published by Dandelion Books of Tempe, Arizona. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Back. This is Mark Antos, American, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Greg Felton, the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. You know, Greg, as you talk about Ronald Reagan and what you allege is the fascist cabal that was behind the election of Reagan and pointing, of course, at Zionism, pointing at the whole business of the particular brand of evangelical Christian right thinking that was behind the election of Reagan. And then, of course, you could throw into the mix also the so-called neocon econo-theologians, quoting your news release here. I voted for Reagan in 1980 and in 1984. I voted for George Herbert Walker Bush in 1988 under extreme protest. I have since stopped doing this kind of thing. I left the Republican Party officially in 1996 after having been involved as a volunteer in Pat Buchanan's short-lived presidential efforts in 1992 and 1996. The reason I mention all of that history is I have undergone a tremendous political metamorphosis in the last quarter of a century or so. I have come to see the wisdom and the correctness of the thesis of your book and works like your book for a whole variety of reasons. But I guess the reason I go into this kind of biography, autobiography about myself, is if a person who is at one time is strongly committed to Reagan Republicanism, or what I thought Reagan Republicanism represented all these years ago, and I have come to see the light, does this not suggest the possibility that there's a much wider political shift taking place out there where people not only who have been supporters of Reagan Republicanism in the past, but people like Cindy Sheehan, who have been supporters of the Democratic Party in the past, are coming into a strange kind of coalescence in regard to the insidious role of the Israeli lobby in the domestic political process of the United States? And is there not potentially brewing here a virtual revolution against what has happened to the American Republic?
Essentially, I think you're quite right, Mark, and you're quite right to point the finger at people who look at both Republicans and Democrats as being essentially paid mouthpieces or involuntary mouthpieces for the lobby. And I think one of the most interesting examples of that is what Senator Ernest Hollings did in the Senate. He's retiring or has retired now, I'm not sure. But he came out and blasted AIPAC as being essentially the puppet master of the American government, and said, in effect, that there is no foreign policy the United States has that the AIPAC doesn't approve. If you don't approve it, you get slapped right down. And there cannot be any real doubt about the fact that the United States is no longer in control of its foreign policy. And if the United States government is to ever, reestablish or revivify the concept of an independent republic, it has to declare the Israel lobby to be essentially a gangster criminal organization and declare war against this internal enemy. But the point is, we can't do that because the propaganda machinery that we have around us and the persistence of images, the persistence of the illusion of democracy, makes it very difficult for us to recognize an enemy that is so close to us. We have been brought up to believe that the enemy is our friend. And so long as we do that, the United States has no hope of resuscitating itself. This is why I think it's important for the military to bring a formal end to the republic, that is to say, to destroy its images, to destroy its electoral practices, to destroy the preposterous lie that the United States that existed before 1980 is the same United States that existed after Reagan entered the White House. I mean, I don't know if you know Oscar Wilde's story, The Picture of Dorian Gray. It's a great metaphor for the United States. Dorian Gray was a vain, conceited, very cruel man who wanted to live forever. So he made a wish in a room that was granted because there was a mystical object there. He would go through life never aging a second beyond the age at which he made the wish. But a portrait of him that had been done by an artist would grow older, contorted, ugly, grotesque, and repugnant with every cruel act that Dorian Gray made. And it was so conspicuous that the picture became the repository of the evil, the moral evil of Dorian Gray, that it was hidden away in a closet in the attic of this house. And it could become ever more ugly as Dorian Gray could go through life, ever more beautiful, handsome, and opportunistic. And ultimately, at the end of the book, of course, the attic door is broken down and the picture is destroyed. And the minute it is destroyed, the picture reverts to its youthful original essence, and Dorian Gray dies in a heap of desiccated bones. And what we have in the United States is this ugly picture of the true soul of America rotting away in some attic, and the illusion of some youthful Superman era type, truth, justice in the American way, still persisting in the minds and the culture of a people. Many people like Cindy Sheehan and other people in the military and Brigadier General Karen, Lieutenant General Karen Kvitkovsky, and Janet Karpinski, the Brigadier General who was hung out to dry from the Abu Ghraib scandal, as well as great American leaders who have resigned over the Bush Hunter's misrepresentation of American interests, lies to Congress. Many people want to see something done, but unless Americans are forced to stare into the face of the criminality that is within their midst, they will find ways to make excuses for it. I mean, to this day, anybody who speaks ill of Israel is immediately slandered, libeled, and assassinated as some anti-Semite. As I'm sure you know, that's an all-purpose epithet of opprobrium. Anybody can throw at anybody. And people who are in Congress and rely on votes to get elected are scared to death to be called anti-Semite, a term, by the way, that has no meaning. It's completely devoid of any intellectual merit. It's simply calling somebody like a witch or a fellow traveler of communism or some other such convenient political label. So people are afraid to challenge the lobby, to challenge the occupation of Washington, D.C. Now, I have Pat Buchanan's statement in my book that Capitol Hill is Israeli-occupied territory, and Buchanan is perfectly right. And people have to be to develop the skill and the courage to say what is deemed to be unacceptable language, that Israel has occupied the United States, Americans no longer have a republic, they are subjects of a totalitarian regime that is growing ever more criminal, as if the Sopranos have sort of taken over the White House and are turning it into their little family of loyalists and kneecappers. Americans have no freedoms left. Americans are in grave danger. And the Americans have to realize they have to focus their attention on the cause of the danger, not on these fictional, demonized images of Arabs that are being thrown up regularly to distract them from the true cause of their misery. Arabs aren't the danger. Arabs have never been a danger to the United States. Arabs have always admired the United States for their democracy, for their business sense. It wasn't until Israel came along that Arab countries started to dislike the United States, started to oppose the United States. Israel is the sole cause of world misery in the Middle East. It is the sole cause of America's falling respect, reputation, and credibility around the world, especially in the Middle East. And if we don't fight the cancer that is eating away at the American body politic, the body politic is going to die. And to all intents and purposes, it is dead and has to be started up again, because the republic that began in 1776 no longer exists. Nobody with any respect for honesty or for reason, logic, or intellectual commentary could possibly argue that the country that Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and John Jay put together has any resemblance to the pathetic, intellectually vapid entity that has declared war, that has fomented war on Iraq deliberately, that is trying to manufacture consent for an attack upon Iran, not for the American national interest, but for a foreign interest, directly opposed to George Washington's imprecation against entangling alliances. The United States has become the very thing it fought to destroy. It is the new fascist regime. And in my book, there's a chapter 14 where I draw direct line, almost line by line parallels between George W. Bush's speech to invade Iraq and why it's necessary, and Adolf Hitler's speech at the Reichstag explaining why the invasion of Poland was necessary. It is almost identical. The fear of an attack against the German or American people. We had no choice. We didn't want war. We had to do it this way. I mean, it's almost the same. America is fascist. And I say that not as a form of expletive, the way people misuse the term, oh, he's a fascist, or that's fascism. People don't know what the term means. The term fascism is a legitimate term of political governance. It's not a very nice term. It's not a very acceptable form of governance, but it does have certain characteristics. And there are 14 of them. All 14 are evident in the United States of America, or what I call the former Republic of America. And until the American public recognizes this, there will never be another republic. Americans have to recognize that their country has been stolen from them. They need to fight for it, and even if that means resorting to armed insurrection, there has to be something, because as it is now, nobody who is born in the U.S. has any rights except those that the Cheney-led junta in Washington, D.C., or Washington, Tel Aviv, as I call it, deigns to give them.
You know, Greg, I was saying on the air earlier that I preached at a Lutheran church on the south side of San Antonio yesterday. I happen to be a Lutheran pastor. And after the service, I was in a restaurant on the south side of San Antonio with three other people. And one of the three people at the table had some political questions for me because they're aware of my connection to both the Republic Broadcasting Network and also the fact that I occasionally submit articles for the American Free Press. And this individual wanted to know something about some of the mainstream American presidential candidates. And I began talking about some things in conjunction with somebody else at the table who is a very, very knowledgeable person. And the individual asking these questions was absolutely amazed at some of the information that came out because they had never heard any of it in corporate media, which is the only, I presume, the only or the primary thing that they rely upon for news information. I made reference in that conversation to some of Mr. Bush's executive orders, including the most recent. I don't know if you've had a chance to look into this business of National Security Presidential Directive 51, also known as Homeland Security Presidential Directive 20. I know noted that today Mahdi Darius Nazemroya makes reference to this latest presidential executive order in this piece for globalresearch.ca that's there. I don't know if you've seen what Mr. Bush has now said about his role in the event of a national emergency. Have you had a chance to look at any of that?
Yes, I have. He's talking about the unitary executive.
Yes.
Yeah, this is something that is entirely consistent with what happened in with Bush's rise to power and the Project for a New American Century. Bush essentially wants to turn the United States into a dictatorship where dissent against the government is essentially criminalized. And this is right out of Stalinism and Hitlerism. I mean, no American who ever had any understanding of the right to dissent is going to put up with this. But the people who you spoke with who were astounded by it, I can understand that because it's the corporate media who brings free information right to your doorstep or to your eyes, your television, your radio. If you want informed commentary, you got to go look for it. You got to make the effort to go on the internet or pick up alternative publications. And people, generally speaking, are lazy, and they'll take the information that's given to them. And they're brought up to respect professional journalists, professionals who gather news and give you the news. And so you see somebody who sits in the front of a television and reads the news. Oh, that person must know what he's doing or he's doing, and this must be what's going on. And it's very easy to believe it because, you know, instinctively you know that you don't know everything, and here's someone who's paid to know what's going on. But you don't. But you have to understand that what you're told in the press is only what the press wants you to know. And don't forget when Lenin got out of jail and out of Switzerland and went back to Russia, the first thing he did was set up a propaganda organ, Iskra, Spark. Because he knew that before you could have a revolution, you had to have the propaganda machinery to make the public believe that the revolution was in its own self-interest. And that's what's happening in the United States. I mean, it's impossible. This way, I feel more safe flying into Damascus or Tehran than I do flying into Atlanta or Dallas-Fort Worth. You know, because the United States has turned into a fascist state. It has turned into a criminal state. There is no possible way that people leading this country can be considered anything other than war criminals. But you would have to have a state, a whole state, with enough prisons to hold everybody in the American administration or misadministration who has committed crimes against humanity, the Constitution, and the American nation. I don't know what I feel so sorry for Americans who think that they they live in a republic and that they live in a country that they grew up in, most people have no idea that their country is under occupation. And the reason I wrote my book the way I did, with the title as provocative as it is essentially to shock people into facing up to a very cold, hard fact that their country is dead. And if they want it, they have to go fight for it again. And Americans are never going to have the right, the defense, to hold the police accountable to the law, to hold the government accountable to the law, until the Israel lobby is declared a criminal entity and is purged from the American political scene the way the Nazi Party was purged from the German political scene. This is what has to happen. And this is why Americans no longer indulge the fiction that the symbols that they see around them, American elections, their products, their corporate imagery, their education system, their freedom, those don't have any relevance to the government of the day. America is dead, and America has to be started up again.
We'll be back with Greg Felton, the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. It's a Dandelion Books publication. We'll be back with Mark Dankos America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest today is Greg Felton of Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. He is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. It is a Dandelion Books publication. You can find it at www.dandelionbooks.net. Wanted to warn our guest as well as our listeners that the next 10 minutes or so tend to be a time of frequent commercial interruption, and then there will be a longer period of time for more extended conversation again with Greg Felton. Wanted to also remind our listeners that this is the time to support the Republic Broadcasting Network. You know, our guest today, Greg Felton, has been talking about the way in which we are seeing the development of a truly fascist situation in America, one where large multinational corporate conglomerates, many of which have Zionist sympathies, control major media in this country. That's abundantly clear, certainly to those of us who listen to RBN. We need to do something about this, folks, and the only way that we can do something about it is by supporting entities that are trying to get the truth out there. Christopher Petherick's American Free Press is one example of that. You can support the American Free Press by calling 1-888-699-NEWS. Certainly the presidential candidacy of Ron Paul here in Texas is available to you, as Ron Paul seems to be the only person among the announced presidential contenders in either of the major political parties who is talking about these issues. The third way you can do it is supporting the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can contact us in one of three ways with your gifts. You can contact us online at www.republicbroadcasting.org. That's www.republicbroadcasting.org. After 6 p.m. Central, utilize extension 115, but prior to 6 p.m. Central, ask for extension 116 if you're calling us on the telephone at 1-800-724-2719. So again, you can do it on the net, www.republicbroadcasting.org, or by asking between now and 6 p.m. Central for extension 116 if you dial 1-800-724-2719. You can also use U.S. Mail. Send us your gifts at Republic Broadcasting Network, 1015 South Mays. That's like Willie Mays, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Again, I can't emphasize strongly enough, folks, that the Republic Broadcasting Network needs you. We need your gifts. We need for you to network with family members and friends to tell more people around the country and around the world about us so that we can expand our outreach. We've already got it in terms of the World Wide Web and our archives. We're adding or trying to add conventional radio affiliates, including the new WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt Christian station, which is bringing Mark Dankos America and the Republic Broadcasting Network to a conventional audience, radio audience in the American South, bringing a new message that's different from what Christians tend to listen to in regard to what's been happening politically in this country. Very significant that we're also doing an expansion of our outreach on international shortwave. We'll be back with Greg Felton, the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Islam's Fifth Column Consumed America, and Mark Dankos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned. Of the tiger.
It's true.